Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
You're now listening to La Verdad Podcast.
Again with another episode of La Verdad Podcast, and this is your host Christian, and we are back in the room all together again. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Be big on the mic. What's up? Hi guys.
We have not
together again. Yeah. It's been a little while.
It was kind of weird when I was first setting it up, and I think I said this in the last podcast where we were all getting together. But, you know, we've been so used to just doing either one person, either me by myself or me and V-Fig. And then when I was setting up the whole microphones, I kind of even forgot how to set up. I'm like, man, I'm looking at...
Okay, which one's not these mic again? What color? Yeah.
So, mi gente, we're back at it again. You know, a couple of things that have been happening. We did have some pictures out there on Facebook. I was going to say on the Facebook. On Facebook of the Oscar Lopez event that happened at Humboldt Park. So if you have a chance, a big shout out to April for taking those pictures and doing some photojournalism work in the community. Some really cool pictures. Check it out, share it, like it. We also do have our little commercial. I want to say it's like a little clip of who we are, what is La Verdad. So if you have a chance to take a look at it, wait all the way to the end, and there's a nice little surprise at the end of the video. It was really cool to record that one because it actually made me sit down and kind of take a look at what it is that we do, you know. And a lot of times we go with the flow of business, right? And we forget exactly what it is that we're doing, or we go and we segue into something else, and it was nice to bring it back home. And
did we ever, and April, maybe you can answer, I don't know, we had bloopers. I want to know if we should put that together. I think that'd be cool. It's like another added video. This is,
I'm sure there's a lot of bloopers on Nati in there.
Hell yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty.
He was like, do this again. Shit.
Oh, I'm sure
pretty
plenty.
Crazy bloopers on there. So, mi gente, if you have a chance, check it out, share it, you know, like it, and just actually take a look at the whole video so you get an idea of what it is that we're doing. And you can find that video on Facebook or any social media outlet using the handle of La Verdad LTD. Or if you go to our website, www.laverdadltd.com. So today we're actually joined by someone very special in the community. We're actually going to talk about, just have a chill session and just talk about some of the current events that are happening. And this man has a bunch of projects under his belt. I don't know how he does it. His plate's probably super full. I want to say he has arroz con gandules pernil on that plate as well because, man, it's a lot of stuff going on. So we're joined today by Caesar Visual Samudio. How are you, man?
I'm good. Just before we go on, I want to clear up that my plate probably wouldn't have pernil because I'm a vegetarian.
That's cool. Are you vegetarian by choice?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Well, you could throw some yuca on there, though, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. Poquito habichuela, lo que sea.
There you go, exactly.
You know, a lot of vegetarians might be that they can't, you know, it's like they can't eat it, so they have no choice.
True. Yeah, it was personal choice. Mm. Yeah.
Got it.
We'll talk a little bit more about that. I kind of want to pick your brain on
that.
No doubt.
You know?
So, I was going through your face. I was creeping on your Facebook a little
creeping.
Bit.
We're taking and, after Nati.
Join the club.
She taught us well.
I get a lot of creepers.
And we were actually talking with Nati and all that, and I wanted to know, you know, Chicago has a lot of talent, you know, and it's a lot of hidden talent that a lot of people don't know of.
Yeah.
But I saw something very special in your page is that you're actually going in, and I want to talk a little bit more about this later on, but the whole Money Mantra podcast that you just started, out of all the projects that you have, this is your most recent, right?
Yes.
So before we get into that, mi gente, if you have a chance to go check it out, go check out Caesar on his on Facebook and check out Money Mantra. But we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I wanted to pick your brain and see how'd you get started. What is it that you do?
Wow, what is it that I do and how did I get started?
So loaded question.
Oh, my God.
We got time.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys got some time.
So how did I get coffee? I know, please.
No. Bustelo?
Yeah, you know.
So how did I get started? Oh, my God, man. I don't know. I mean, I'm an artist, man. That's really what it comes down to, you know, at the end of the day, man. I like to create and I like to make things happen.
So do you do the production side of things? Is that what you...
I'm on the production side and on the songwriting side and the performing side. Okay. So one thing about me, when I do one thing, I don't do one thing. I do like three things that have to do with that thing. You know what I'm saying? I realized since I was a kid, man, that I need to stay busy. Mm. I need to stay busy. So whenever I get involved in something, like... I'm very hands-on with everything.
So as far as the music side of things, you know, I'm a music background, so I love to get into detail with the music stuff. Are you doing the production, the actual songwriting, and the post-production work on it too?
Yeah, definitely. And as far as production goes, like, I'm not a person, I don't work with hardware, so I'm not in the studio, like, you know, using machines or instruments, but I'm the person that's like kind of like directing it, you know, kind of hands-on production. So, you know, arranging the songs, like I said, writing songs or going in the studio and telling artists, you know, let's put the vocals here, let's put the vocals there, telling the producer like, hey, you know, drop these drums, add this sound, add that sound, whatever it may be.
So you know what sounds good.
Yeah, exactly. We might need a live instrument here, live instrument there, whatever the situation may be. So, that's my production background. And songwriting, I've been writing my own songs for, God, forever. You know what I'm saying? Like 20 years or something. And performing too, man. I've been performing on stage for like 16, 17 years, you know?
Okay.
So, yeah.
And how did that start? Was it just like out of
what
nowhere?
What was like your first performance? Where were you at? How did that go?
Why you got to put me on the spot and embarrass me like that?
Come on.
My first performance was embarrassing, guys. Like, real talk. It was bad, man.
Look at
like,
my talent show.
You know what's funny, though? Like, I was just talking to my daughters about it the other day because my daughters, like, they're in a talent show, right? They just did the talent show the other day, so they're like, they got the nerves flowing and stuff, and they're all like scared, and I'm like, oh man, you don't even know, like you guys are good, like you guys are 10 years old, like in a talent show at school. Like my first performance was at University of Chicago, in front of like 100 people, which is a lot of people for your first time. Like, and I'm talking about like I didn't even do like open mic before that. Like,
wow,
you know what I'm saying? So this was literally my first performance. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it was bad. It was bad. Yeah, so at the time I was working with this group. At the time I was working with two groups. They were, one of them was called Central Ave. It was these two guys. They were from like up north, like Jefferson Park area. Uh-huh. And then another group, Old Testament. They were mostly from like Evanston, like Chicago borderline, like Howard Western, Evanston area. And that group was like six dudes, and another group was like two guys, and we just happened to do a song together. I was always a solo artist for the most part, and then we happened to do a song together, and they're you know, we wrote the song, we were excited about it, we all had like these short verses, like eight bar verses, and you know, it was kind of like a Wu-Tang like posse cut, and we were all excited about it, man, until you know, it came time to like, hey man, I think we might have a show we're gonna perform at. And everybody was like, oh man, like so for the most part, like Old Testament, like they were really good, man. Like they were like people I learned from early on, like a lot. And Central Ave, they were pretty experienced. They had a couple shows under their belt. Me, I was kind of like the rookie. Like, as far as writing, and like, I was more of a, you know, go to the party and like freestyle in a cypher type of guy. Like, that was me. Okay. Like, if there was a cypher, like, I'm in there like freestyling all day. Like, that was my realm. I was a battle rapper, you know? So, but writing songs and performing, whew, man, that was my thing. I was a rookie right there. So then finally, like, we talked about it. We had a show coming up, and we, you know, we rehearsed a little bit, and I didn't know what I was doing, really, to be honest, as far as rehearsing. I was like, man, what are, you know, when do I come in and this and that? Like, what am I rehearsing for? Like, how are we going to look on stage? And it's like, it wasn't crossing my mind yet. But finally, the show comes, man, and it's like everybody's doing their part. And I was like somewhere in the middle. Like I said, it was like probably eight of us on the song. Mm-hmm. And I was probably like the fourth or fifth verse. So the first few guys go, man, and everything's lovely. Like, the beat drops. These guys come in. They're like dropping their verses and everything. I'm like, man, this is great, right? And I'm on stage, like, enjoying. I'm like being a fan. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, wow, look at my guys. Like, they're killing it right now. And then, man, the time comes, like, for me, man. And it was literally like this. Like, frozen. I was frozen, man. I froze. And then, like, for, like, a split second, like, my body, like, physically I was frozen. Like, mentally I was frozen. Like, I wasn't frozen in time, right? And it was like a photo. And then finally, like, a split second later, I'm like, I think I can move my neck. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think I can look at the crowd. And before I knew it, man, I just jumped right back in. And it was like nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
But it was probably, like, the most embarrassing moment ever.
I feel you, man. Usually, when I tend to look back at some of the performances that I've done in the past, I used to play in a salsa band, and I remember, you know, you rehearse all the time, and it's just sitting down, right? I'm a trumpet player, so I'm sitting down, I'm rehearsing, and then right before going on stage, the other trumpet player, which is the lead trumpet player of the salsa band, was like, hey, I need you to, like, rehearse these little steps with me, like some salsa steps. I'm like, oh, man, what the hell? Like, no one told me.
Not a dancer.
So he gave me a whole dance routine, right, for it. And then he's like, in the middle of the dance, he's like, in the middle of the dance, I'm going to flip my trumpet. I'm going to throw it. And you catch it. I'm like, why? Why are we doing this? This is my first ever. This is performing. And I'm wondering if he's listening right now. It was Tommy Lyon. I don't know if you ever remember it in Chicago. There was a band called Tommy Lyon.
Yeah.
It was a reggaeton duo, right? It was Matthew, which is Lyon, and then Tommy.
Yeah.
And they had hired us to do a live show with them. And I was in high school.
He's like,
you know?
I'm going to throw my trumpet.
So he's like, hey, you got to throw your trumpet. Like, we got to do this and that and go up to the front of the. I'm like, I'm freaking out. This is in Ohio. It's recorded somewhere.
Like,
I have to find it. I almost dropped it. The guy had like a $2,000 trumpet. I'm like, yo, like, dude, you're putting me on the spot. My trumpet's only like $200. Like, but it was one of those, like, when you're saying your story, I'm thinking back. I'm like, shit, I remember when he threw the trumpet. I kind of like froze in time. And I saw it like slowly coming towards me. And there's a huge crowd. It was like a Puerto Rican festival in Ohio or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember that. I'm wondering, man, if I ever see that video, I wonder how stupid I look. Like, and the way that we were dressed and all that. But it brings me back to performance, right?
Yeah,
so as you were mentioning, you used to be more of like a cypher, like battle rapper.
Yeah.
But we a lot of people forget that you have to perform, right? So when you go on stage, especially for hip hop, I believe has the hardest part because it's a lot. It's beats usually. Nowadays they do live music, which is awesome. Yeah. You know, they'll have a live band or whatever. But when you don't have a live band and you're just rapping in front of someone, it could become very awkward, I think. You know, I've never done it, but has it ever gotten to the point where it's like, damn, what do I add or what flavors do I add so that people don't get bored or just kind of like, or is it mostly the scene that you're working on is people already expecting that? Like, it's just more of a chill session or whatever.
I don't know. I think in general, like for me, man, I always thought like I got to do something different, you know? Mm-hmm. For the most part, like wherever I went, like I was to the general public, like I was just like this little white dude stepping into the cyphers, you know what I'm saying? But then they would hear me talking, they're like, nah, this dude's not white. Like there's a certain swag about him, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and it's funny, like I've had people to this day tell me that like, hey man, you ain't white, right? Cause you got this like certain swag to you. I was like, nah, bro, far from it, you know? So like I always felt different like stepping in into performing anyway. Man, so I always felt like I had to do something a little different. And not only that, but like when you're performing on stage for so many years, like even you start to get bored. So I gotta add a different element, man. Do I add a DJ? Do I add a band? Do I you know, grab like a hot instrumental or like a classic and rap over that? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you have to change it up and try to do different things. Do I give them an acapella? Do I like have them not announce me and just pop on stage and start rapping? You know, like I've done things like that, and like people, you know, it's just you gotta do something different, man. Like at the end of the day, it's entertainment. You know what I'm saying? It's entertainment. Yeah. So like I'm thinking about it. I always look at what would I want. What would I like? How would I feel like, man, this is dope. Like they snap, you know? So if it's not like that to me, if I'm not excited about it, like it's going to be probably tough for me to enjoy it while I'm actually doing it. You know what I'm saying?
I was watching some, I'm really into like Spanish hip hop and Spanish music. And like reggaeton, right? And I remember in the beginning when they would go in there, it was just mostly just them rapping, right? But it was in a setting that it worked, right? It worked for them because of the setting they were in. It was a club. And then eventually they got into like where they were wardrobes. They would come in like wrestlers. It would look like, you know, and it works. It's selling your the performance, you know? And
sure,
it becomes that. It becomes really, really cool to see because if you're there, you're not really a rapper or you don't really appreciate the genre as much, then you appreciate the visual aspect.
Exactly.
You know? So how is your setup now? Like, what is your whole routine? Are you still doing Are you still performing?
Yeah, yeah. I perform, but very, very rarely, man. And now when I perform, like, it's me and a DJ. Like, okay. I won't perform if my DJ is not available. Like, I'm not performing. And also, if it's not, like, a bigger show, like, I'm not performing. Yeah. Like, I used to do a lot of, like, smaller shows, like, you know, just little venues and, like, open mics and things like that. And I just don't do them no more, man. Like, I've been doing it way too long for me to, you know, continue to do things that... don't match where I've, you know, the work I've put in. And
you know
and,
your worth.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Exactly, exactly. I know my worth, and I've built up my brand as an artist, and I have a certain reputation as well, you know, that I wanna maintain, and I wanna elevate that. I don't ever wanna digress, so... I'm definitely just doing bigger shows. Like, for example, last year, I just did... I think I only did 2 shows last year. I know I did Cap G at Chop Shop, and... man, I'm thinking, what else did I do? That was another big show that I did, but that was it. You know, like, if it's not a bigger show, like, I'm just not gonna do it.
Yeah.
You know, and not only that, but my schedule's so crazy, man. Like, I can't. I'm rapping every weekend. Like, yeah. I know guys that are like, man, I gotta keep up, man, or else they don't know my name out here. And this and that. I was like, bro, you got the game twisted, man. Like, you're doing a bunch of junk that's gonna tarnish your name. Exactly. That's gonna make you look like, man, why is this guy on this flyer where their faces are pixelated and like,
I
see that all the time, and I'm just like, I don't know, like. I think a lot of times artists in general, not just hip hop, but just everyone in general, whatever maybe you're doing, like your brand's got to, like, it's got to be on point to the, you know, image wise to the people. And then when you actually get down to it, it's got to, like, you got to please people. Yeah. Like, I can't be a rapper with, like, this dope image and, like, man, oh, look, he's got the dope gear and, like, he's got his cool flyer and his cool logo and then his videos garbage, his stage performance is garbage. Like, it's just you can't do that.
Yeah, from the outside looking in, you see someone's video that looks like crap.
Yeah,
they could have the best lyrics ever.
I was gonna say, it might be a great artist,
and it's like, whoa, like, I don't want to fuck with you.
It all has to be. It all has to match, man. Real talk. It all has to match.
I also noticed you have a project that you're working on called Hello Hip Hop.
Yeah,
can you explain that a little bit more?
So that's my company, man. What we do is artist development and consulting. It's pretty much the main focus of it. We also do events and youth development. Nice. So. Basically, let's say an artist finishes a project, they don't really know what to do with it after that. What we do is we help them develop their brand and show them how to market themselves and also teach them how to, you know, gain different streams of revenue. So set up their publishing, teach them a little bit about licensing or how to pursue it. And how to get paid from doing shows, different things of that nature. Kind of get them to step out of the, you know, open mic mentality. I feel like in Chicago, like, there's so much of, at least in the hip hop world, there's so much like, oh man, there's an open mic this week, I'm gonna do it, which is cool for like maybe your first year or two.
Yeah.
Like if you're like a 18, 19 year old rapper, and that's cool. But I know these guys that are like, man, 30, 35, like, man, I got to go to the open mic, bro. And I'm like, I don't want to be rude or disrespectful, my man, but you got to stop that. Like, either like, you're doing this as a hobby or you're doing it as a profession. Yeah. So I try to deal with artists that really want to do this as a profession. You know what I'm saying?
And you're educating them on the next steps of it?
Exactly. Okay, so that's the focus. So the focus is definitely education, because I feel like, especially in the music industry, it's just very shady.
Yeah. A lot of snakes,
very,
man.
Very, very shady. You know what I'm saying? And this is the thing about it, that from my experience, I realized that I was taught so wrong in so many ways, because I didn't go to school for music business, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't go to school for, like, you know, growing up in Chicago in the music business, definitely, which is a whole other
different world.
That's a whole different world. So I had to learn things the wrong way sometimes, and I thought I was learning the right thing and teaching the right thing and doing the right thing, but I wasn't. So I had to, like, relearn things and kind of, like, re-educate myself on it. So one thing I like to make clear with a lot of artists is, like, these are the definite steps. This is the definite route to, if not success, at the very least some progression, and you're gonna at least feel like you have some ownership. You know, I really want to, like, empower artists, man. That's really my thing, to educate them and empower them and to help them create and just let them do their thing without feeling like they're being screwed over, man. Because like, it's like, that's the music business, you know. Like, I was talking to a friend recently who's an actor and used to be in the music business, and he was giving me an example of how different it is with the acting business. How, you know, they have SAG, they have you know, different things set up in place, so where it's like it's official. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not getting screwed over. You're not getting taken advantage of. They have a union. Mm-hmm. Music doesn't have a union. You don't have a union as an artist.
Actors
you don't
have a union.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And that's what SAG is. You know, so SAG is a Screen Actors Guild. Yeah. So it's a union. So if you're in a union and you pay your dues, like you know what you're gonna get paid. Like let's say you do a small commercial, like you know the rate for that. You do a big commercial, you know the exact rate for that. And you're looking around and you know that your actor friend who did a commercial for the NFL, you're like, oh, I know what he got paid because I did that last year and I got paid the same. Yeah. Or he might have a smaller role on a TV show and you're like, oh, I know what he got paid because... In the music business, like, man, what did you negotiate? What did you,
And unfortunately,
who do you know? Like,
unfortunately, in Chicago, it's even worse, too. Oh, like, God, I mean, I've dealt with a lot of snakes in the music industry. Just, and it's just kind of like, oh, okay, this person. Yeah, so when I used to DJ for a little bit, and I'll go over there, and it'll be, you know, okay, we'll pay you $250. And then somebody else will be like, oh, no. You know, you're not well known, so we're not going to pay you. We'll just pay you how many people you bring in. And it's very, very shady the way that it works here, and especially even in the recording area, too. Like, you might go to a recording studio. They might charge this person $50, but they're charging somebody else, you know, $100, $150, depending on the location. So I'm glad that you're doing that. You know, to me, it's something that I wish I would have known about that when I was first starting in my music music area, because there was companies out there when I was starting out, but they were really shady too, and some of them were just around for like a couple months and then closed down after they got their money and then left, you know.
That's how it goes.
And unfortunately, there's nothing really there was nothing really for the hip-hop area, right? Hip-hop or even reggaeton or urban genre, there was nothing really out there except a lot of people taking advantage. And you see it all the way back from you know, the days of like NWA and stuff like that, where like, you know, there was people that lawyers that knew what they were doing, you know, undercutting the guys and paying them less. So I'm glad that there's somebody out there doing it, educating them. As far as when it comes down to like the youth, what are you guys doing with youth?
Yeah, I was just going to ask that. What does that look like?
So with youth, I'm the instructor for a program called We Are Hip Hop. And that is, it was created by Elevarte Community Studio, and they're out of Pilsen. And what happened is that they had booked me to perform a few years ago. I want to say maybe like 5-6 years ago, they had booked me to perform. And I went to go, you know, do the event. They do a festival every year. They've been doing it for 12 years now. We're going on 12. And I kind of kept in communication with them. And the person who was the instructor at the time, a friend of mine named Lizette Garza, she was the instructor of the program. She tweeted out one day, like, hey, guys, I'm moving up here at Elevarte, and my position to teach the teens is open. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, that sounds like something I would love to do, you know? Yeah. So just randomly, I'm like, hey, I'll do that. She's like, cool, here's the link to apply. I apply, and like 2 days later, I'm getting a call, like, come in for an interview, right? And I'm like, man, what did I get myself into? Like, I've done a lot of volunteer work with teens, you know, like plenty of it. So I was like, it wasn't like something going to be something totally new for me. But I was like, man, like, this is dope. Like, I'm officially going to, like, could possibly teach teens, which is something I always wanted to do. And I went to the interview, man. I interviewed with like the staff, and then she's like, okay, you got to come back and interview with the teens. And I'm like, what? Like, that's not right, man. That's too much.
That's
like,
even harder.
Like, if they like, don't like you, they're not gonna listen
exactly
to you.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, man, at first I'm like, y'all are doing the most, but I was like, yeah, you should be doing the most, though, you know.
Yeah.
And I went in and I interviewed with the teens, and they were like all like trying to look tough at me, and I'm like, man, y'all are teenagers, man. You better ride out with that, you know what I'm saying? So I sat down, but please, I charmed them in like 60 seconds, man. They were laughing and giggling. Nice. And like, this and that, and asking me crazy questions, and I was answering them, and it was dope, man. So before I knew it, you know, I got contracted to teach.
Nice.
So that's pretty much how I started, you know what I'm saying? And so I wanted to kind of, and I've been doing that for going on my third year now. This summer will be the third summer that I'm, or the fourth summer, I think. Third or fourth, I don't know, I forget, man. My life is hectic, man. I know I got 4 kids and a wife, and I got to, you know, feed them. That's all I know in my life. That's the basics of my foundation. But so I've been doing that for a few years now, and I kind of wanted to continue that going on with the artists that I work with, you know, and just you know, it's really, I think education is just so important in general, you know. When I work with these teenagers and I realize, like, the things they're going through, that regular education like CPS doesn't really consider. You know, like CPS. Yeah, I know exactly. We're not gonna. I really don't want to get started with CPS either.
It's like a podcast series.
Oh my god! Yeah, a whole series just bashing CPS. See, down with CPS. So yeah, it's like basic education, man. General education doesn't take into consideration that a teenager is going to school on a day that. On the way to school, their friend got murdered. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's real. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so real, yeah. You know? And when you really, like, and of course, growing up in the city, like, I dealt with it and I knew it. But, man, I guess, you know, being an adult and working with teenagers and just seeing that look in their face and feeling that pain, man, you're just like, wow. Like, yep. I want to take that away from them as much as I can. You know what I'm saying? It's, like, so important to me to just... I'll be that punching bag. I'll be that whatever, man. That sponge just soaks it up, whatever it is. Because I don't think a lot of times, especially young people, man, they don't have that. Yeah. You know, even if they have, you know, both parents at home and they have a big family, whatever it may be. Because it's not just about, you know, my mom and dad are there and they're raising me a certain way. It's like, man, maybe your mom and dad don't know how to do it. You know what I'm saying? Because they didn't learn. They never were taught. Maybe they've been going through pain their whole life. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's one thing I really realized, you know, and that's one thing that is just, it's extremely important to me. It's very important to me, you know, I know we're talking about Hello Hip Hop, but to go into to Money Mantra, like, and that's kind of where Money Mantra came from. Like, that's been my whole thing always, man. Like, one thing turns into something else. Yeah. It creates another monster, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So for me being an artist, I started a record label because I never had anybody to put out my own music. Mm-hmm. So I started a record label. Then from starting a record label, I started Hello Hip Hop because there was nobody there to teach me and my friends how to run a business and how to not get screwed over in the music industry and how to, you know, set up our own venues or book our own events. So I started that. And then after that, after like teaching artists and teaching teens, I realized like, man, we're messed up. Yeah. Like, we got issues. Like, I got issues. I learned about myself teaching these teens, man. Yep. I'm like, man, I got pain and struggle in me that I haven't dealt with that I let out in situations and places that don't need to be let out.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. So when I started to really realize that, then that's when I was like, what can I do about it? So I'm a writer. I just write in general, man. Whether I'm writing, you know, like in a journal or I'm writing songs or I'm writing a poem, whatever, I'm just writing. I'm like letting it out, you know?
Yeah.
So that's my thing, and that was like my therapy. And then I started to realize, like, man, I could probably put together a podcast. I could probably like put together a website where I could like share some resources and this, that, and the third. So that's really where Money Mantra came from, and it turned into that. And then right now, Money Mantra is like, it's a baby right now. It's just, I'm taking my baby steps with it, but I'm trying to be very careful with it because of its importance, man. Because the focus is really mental health and money. That's really the focus of Money Mantra.
Exactly. So before we continue, where can people listen to the podcast at?
So the website is mantramoney.com. Right now, I just have like a splash page, man, for you to, you know, join a newsletter or whatever and follow the social media, but that's gonna be where the podcast is actually housed. So mantramoney.com, and then on social media is all money_mantra, or is it mantra_money? mantra_money, and then Facebook is Mantra Money. Yeah, it's backwards because you know, I went to go get Money Mantra and it's all taken, so I had to flip it on them.
Noticing that too on the actual site, where you talk about mental health and poverty kind of going hand in hand, and the roots of a lot of the issues that we deal with now. One of the things that we've talked about in this podcast before is that there's not enough resources for the people who are in poverty to deal with mental health, right? And they end up just brushing it off. I think in the last podcast that we had with Renee, who is a mental health therapist, he was talking about how, you know, people just start thinking that it's just bobería, you know, this guy's just acting out.
Or that it's like a taboo topic, right?
Exactly.
So
what is your main goal as far as like those, are you bringing in experts to talk about it? Are you doing some of the stuff yourself, like talking about some of the stuff that has happened to you or?
Yeah, definitely. So basically the main thing is I'm not necessarily bringing in experts. Mm-hmm. I'm bringing in regular people.
Okay.
I'm bringing in people like you guys. Mm-hmm. I'm bringing in people that are successful entrepreneurs. I'm bringing in people that have dealt with depression and just came out of it. I mean, I've interviewed actors. I've interviewed entrepreneurs, business owners, you know, athletes, yoga instructors,
yep,
barbers, like just different walks, yep, of life, mm-hmm, because we all deal with it. Right. We all go through it, you know, and they all have their own unique perspective,
yep,
you, mm-hmm, know, like I've literally interviewed people where, you know, this lady was in tears, like during the interview, you know,
wow,
like it's just because different things come out. And the thing is, like, you know, I always send out an email and I let them know, like, listen, we're going to talk about these couple things. I send them the exact questions I'm going to ask them, because a lot of people, they might be like, man, I'm not trying to talk about that, right, you know, because, yeah, it's not, yeah, it's sensitive stuff. It's sensitive stuff.
Yeah.
And like you said, you mentioned taboo, and like for a lot of people, it might be taboo, like, oh, you know, mental health and mindfulness and meditation and these things, mm-hmm, like, you're a weirdo, like, or, yeah, or whatever it may be. It's like, nah, man. Like,
stigma, right?
Exactly.
They feel like they're exposing their weaknesses.
And the same thing with money. Like, people don't want to talk about money.
Exactly.
Oh, people, yeah, like, you know, I've owed people money, or people have owed me money, and it's like weird. Like, nah, bro, like, you owe me money, like, you're gonna pay me or not? You know what I'm saying? No, I can't. Why can't
it's
you?
Always
like,
weird,
nobody, yeah, wants to have that conversation. Why can't you pay me back? Oh, man, because I'm hurting. Then why'd you borrow it then? You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's, you know, it's basic stuff, but it's like the most awkward conversations, you know? And like, I don't think anybody in this room was like raised being taught how to save money, or like how to handle it, or how to balance a checking account even. Man, I didn't know how to balance no checkbook. Yeah. I was like, man, I'm writing these checks. And then like 2 weeks later, I was like, man, I forgot I wrote that balance. Like, you know, it's just, yeah, it's crazy. It's just madness. Mm-hmm. So, but there's simple things that we could do. Simple things.
Yeah.
But it's just like, even the most simple things, like balancing a checkbook, if you are not told about it, if you are not taught it, mm-hmm, if it's not even being presented to you in any way, mm-hmm, how can you possibly do it? You, exactly, know what I'm saying? Exactly. So you have to either teach yourself or have somebody who's going to put themselves in a place to teach you about it. And that's kind of really my position, man. That's really what I feel I am in all aspects of my life, is I'm the person that's going to be placed in front of you to make things better for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever it may be. I don't even have to be an expert in things, man. That's just like what I do. Like, if you could put me in a room and everybody's like upset or sad or like not feeling good, I'm gonna make them happy. They're gonna, mm-hmm, laugh. They're gonna feel better. Something good is gonna happen out of it, period.
Yeah.
Cause I told myself a long time ago, that's gonna be my role in this world, you know? So that's really what I'm trying to do with, you know, from my record label to teaching the teens to Hello Hip Hop to Money Mantra, man, just making everything a little bit better now, for everybody.
Do you ever feel like man, this is so much work and I can't handle it no more?
Or yeah, you don't, I mean, you might not see the four kids.
Can I bring in my wife to answer that question?
Wait, like, putting out there, he has two sets of, man, twins.
Oh. Two sets of twins
and all girls. Yeah. He lives with all women. All,
yes, exactly.
So specifically focusing on, I will say specifically focusing on your artistic career. I want to, yeah, start with that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever been at a point where it's like, damn, I don't see any fruits of my labor kind of coming out? Like, what goes through your mind to continue?
He's like, I go through that every, yeah, single day.
It's like you know when somebody falls down and you kick them a little bit. Like, I feel like you're kicking me right now, bro. We just met and you're kicking me, man.
No, no, man.
Nah, listen though. You know, the real talk,
I
man. Is
I know that there's people are listening to this, yes, that are probably in feeling that situation with, yeah, damn, you know?
Yeah, and you know what it is, honestly, man, there's times, I'm talking about to this day, like to this day, where I'm just like, man, this is not, I'm not getting nothing out of this. Mm-hmm. It's not coming back. But you really gotta find that part of you that reminds you why you're, mm-hmm, doing it. You know what, mm-hmm, I'm saying? Like, if you lose touch of why, then you might as well never do it. And that's the thing with me, man. There's plenty of times where it doesn't come back to me. You know, I might do 100 things for somebody or a group of people or whatever. It doesn't come back. But my expectations aren't that anymore. They're not to get something back from people or situations. My mentality now is just to give. And if I get back, then so be it.
Yeah.
And if I don't get back now, I'll definitely eventually get back, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because that's just the way the universe works. And that's something I had to teach myself. But really, when it comes down to it, man, I mean, I've dealt with depression. Mm-hmm. I've dealt with anxiety. Mm-hmm. I've dealt with, you know, different levels of stress and anger and just feeling lost and confused about things. And especially being an artist, man, it's just, yeah, like you create, you perform, you give, you travel, man. I've toured France. I've toured the West Coast. I've toured the East Coast. I've toured the Midwest. And I come back and I'm just like, man, what? Like, what did I really get out of that? I was in France for 10 days, man. Like, you know, 10 days touring France, like, all paid for everything. Like, I didn't drop a dime in France, y'all, in France. And I'm enjoying it the whole time. But then, like, halfway while I'm there, I'm kind of like, man, like, is this really, like, what it's about?
Yeah.
And then I come back home and I'm like, and I don't want to do this no more. You know what I'm saying? This is the reality of it. I realized that I didn't want to be like that artist that's, you know, at first when I was younger, I wanted to be the artist that traveled around and was like touring and doing it big. And yeah, man, I'm here. And after I experienced it, I was like, eh, I don't want that. Yep. I just don't. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be near my wife and kids more than I wanted to be in France. You know what I'm saying? And that was just real to me. And, so I had to figure out something to do different. It's really mentality, man. It's all about mindset. Different things affect you a different way. And I think when you're doing something, especially like we're talking about being an artist, you're being an artist, and your artistry is a certain thing, a certain facet, or you're approaching it a certain way. It could change. You know what I'm saying? And you have to accept that it could change. And sometimes if you're feeling that pain, that struggle, that like you're kind of like not understanding what's going on internally, it's because you don't need to be doing that no more.
Yeah.
And so many people have a hard time with that. Like, how can I let this go? This is what I've been doing. It's like I've been rapping since I'm 16, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm 38 right now, and I've been rapping since I'm 16, 22 years rapping. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And like, how could I say like I'm not going to rap no more, right? But I could say I'm not going to, you know, present my art in this way, or I'm not going to pursue my art in this way. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be this type of artist, whatever it may be. So I think that's really what it comes down to, man, is remembering why. And then if you have to shift that, accept it.
Yeah.
Just accept. If you have to shift what you're chasing or what you're pursuing or what your life is about, accept it. Because that's the biggest thing that I realized, that change is going to come. Mm-hmm. Change is going
and
to come.
Nobody likes change, right?
Nobody likes change. But I'm going to tell you like this. Once you start to realize that you have to accept change, man, you're going to be the happiest person on this planet. Exactly. Real talk. Because so many times I was so disappointed and so upset and just like pissed off at people, pissed off at situations, pissed off at life. And I was like, man, what am I pissed off about? Because this didn't go the way I expected it to. Expectations, man, they'll bury you. For real. Expectations will bury you. Like, it might sound crazy to say have zero expectations in something, but real talk, if you have zero expectations, you're going to end up on the other side like the most happiest person that you know.
Yep.
And if you could give that off to people, be like, man, you know, every time this person, you know, comes into work or does this, they don't expect anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, it, like, for example, it's like when I worked at Home Depot for 9 years, you know, and at first I was like just grinding, not expecting nothing. And I got like promoted, and then I'm kept grinding. Then I got promoted again, you know, and then halfway through my Home Depot life, I just was like, man, I hate having a regular job and living the corporate life, and I just hate this. So then I started to expect, and then I started to hate my job, and then it turned into me stepping down from my position, and then it turned to me from being a full-time associate to a part-time associate. Then it turned into me quitting my job. Because that's what it was. That's what I did to myself, you know, because I had expectations. But you know what, it's okay, because ultimately that wasn't for me. That's not what I should have been doing. Those 9 years trained me to do other things in my life, but that wasn't my ultimate goal.
Yeah.
You know, so when it comes down that way, it's okay. But there's times where people, man, they just grind it, because it's what they're supposed to do. You know, I'm supposed to have a job. I'm supposed to pay my bills. I'm supposed to take care of my family. I'm supposed to do this. But you ain't supposed to bury yourself, man, and kill yourself and be mentally like just drained and depressed and sad and upset at your life. You ain't supposed to be that.
You're making me contemplate my life right now.
Hey, you know what?
Girl, listen,
real talk. You sound like my wife right now. She's like, shut up. Like, you made me think so much about everything. Like, and I can't help it.
My life choices. I'm like, wait, what am I doing?
Girl, make better decisions, girl.
Am I really happy? Am I dreaming?
Am I truly enjoying everything? But you know what? It's so real, though. It's so real, though, because we really, like, when do you really do that? When do you stop? And just stop like the train from running, because we just got this like train running, you know. Mm-hmm. We're working, we're interviewing our guests on our podcast. You know, we're gonna market the podcast, we're gonna go to work, we're gonna hang out with our family, we're gonna whatever it is that we're doing in our lives, we're just doing it. And then we don't stop like, is this making me happy? Yeah, is this making people happy? Why am I doing this? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Should I shift it a certain way? Am I affecting other people around me? And that's one thing that I think, you know, it's funny. Like, I'm having lunch with my parents yesterday, and we were talking about that, about how when you do things and you don't realize that other people are being affected by them,
then you
might not be as happy as you think you are, and they definitely aren't as happy as you think they are, you know? But it's a big responsibility because who got time for that? Like, nah, I'm just want to go do my thing. I don't be worried if I'm hurting their feelings or making them mad or this and that. But that makes the difference in life. It makes a difference. Like, if I come here and you guys tell me I got a 12 p.m. interview and I'm like, nah, I'll stroll in about 12:45 or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Then they've been like, who the hell is this dude think he is? You know what I'm saying? Then I look at the board and then like they got a 2 p.m. interview, man. Oh man, like then I feel bogus about it, you know what I'm saying? Or I could be like, I don't care, like I'm here just talking it up, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it may be, like that makes a difference. It affects everybody in this room, you know what I'm saying? So the little simple thing like that, like just be considerate and think about things how they affect, because in the end of the day we're all energy. Like that's just a fact of life.
Right.
Whether you want to get into science or not, we are energy. Period. You know what I'm saying? We are energy. Period. If you really 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 want to dig deep into it, like, it's just facts.
Yeah.
Facts. And if you don't, at least understand the most basic thing, that one thing affects the other.
Yeah.
And that's just the bottom line of it. You know
and
what I'm saying?
And I do want to, now that we're talking about, you know, the effects of certain things, I want to talk about being a vegetarian. And I've heard this, and I know it sounds very funny, but I've heard, you know, and doing research, listening to podcasts and all that, that a lot of people are turning into becoming vegetarians because of some of the effects that they get from eating meat, right? Or certain products out there. So was there a specific reason that you want to share with us of why you
went vegetarian? Yeah, man, I really did it because it became really cool, man, and I want to move to Wicker Park and I'm a hipster.
I'm like sitting here like, that's really cool.
It's like the coolest thing to do. And I really feel like, you know.
Some people do it.
I like the boutique vegetarian restaurants in Wicker Park. And
the expensive.
You know, I like $19 grass-fed black bean burgers. That doesn't even make sense. How is the black bean grass-fed? I don't know. No, real talk, though. So I'm going to walk you through that journey, man. You don't ask me questions, man, because I'm going to answer the shit out of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be answering the shit out of questions, man, just so you understand this. If you haven't already made this, you know, a thing that you know, I answer the shit out of questions. So, all right, so vegetarian, man. So I'm going to walk you, like, literally, like, through the whole process. So my first set of twins, right? I have two sets of twins. My first set of twins are born, you know, they're born and then like life really hits me. It's just like, oh shit, you're dead. You got kids. You got more responsibilities. You got mouths to feed. You got like, man, what happens if you die tomorrow? Like what's going to happen? You know what I'm saying? Like all these crazy ideas pop in my head.
Yeah.
And that's what I do, man. I drive myself crazy, and then I drive myself crazy enough to like make something dope happen. Like that's just that's my whole process, you know. Like, man, I'm gonna go crazy. Oh my god, I'm stressed, I'm depressed, I'm filled with anxiety, I'm angry. Ooh, I created a podcast. Like, that's what I do. Like, that's my process, you know. So I'm going crazy and I'm like trying to figure it out. And then, you know, at the time I'm like, I was working at Home Depot and I was working overnights, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning, you know. So it was messed up, man. Like, just crazy schedule. I'm not sleeping right. And I'm already a night person. Like, I stay up late. I'm writing, I'm creating, whatever, man. That's when I'm working at night. Is like, that's just my time when I shine, you know? So I'm working at night and I'm like, I'm unhealthy, man. I'm overweight. I'm not sleeping good. I'm working, you know, middle of the night. Things just, I wasn't feeling good, like period at all. And then I was literally concerned, man, with my health. I was like, man, I got my kids now. Like, what's going to happen if something happens to me? So I said, I have to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I did was I cut out fast food. And I was like, man, I love McDonald's. Like, McDonald's is like my hero. You know, like, they saved my life. Like, oh my God. But breakfast is dope, but them double cheeseburgers, though. Man, it's like little packaged crack. Like, here's two, here's three of them, here's four, and some fries and a milkshake. It's like the most amazing thing I could imagine, right? So then I'm working at Home Depot. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning when we have lunch. 2 o'clock in the morning, lunch, you know what I'm saying? And then McDonald's is like right down the street. So here I am eating my 2-3 double cheeseburgers, fries, shake. At 2-3 in the morning, like, just a mess, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everything was, and then I'm drinking Monster energy drinks to stay up. Bro, like, it was just bad. I have a physical, and I tell my doctor, he's just like, man, what's going on with you? And I'm like, man, I work this job. And he's like, what are you doing? I tell him, well, I work overnights at Home Depot. And are you drinking energy drinks or something to stay up? He's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah. And every day? Yes. 5 times a week. He's like, you're going to die real soon if you keep doing that. Like, my doctor tells me that.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God, man. Like, why are you telling me these things? I got to get my life better. You know what I'm saying? So I stopped, man. I just stopped cold turkey, just eating McDonald's fast food, like no Burger King, no Wendy's, no, no, none of it. And 3 weeks into it, y'all, I felt like I was on top of the world. Like just 3 weeks, okay?
Yep.
And my body said, yo, thank you. Like, you're an amazing human being for doing this to us. Like, why are you doing this? Thank you. So I'm the type of person, I like to test everything, man. I like to discover. I like to figure things out. So I went back to McDonald's.
Oh, okay.
2 days later, man, I was just sick.
Body.
Yeah.
Sick,
yep.
sick.
Yeah.
And I listened. I listened to my body. I listened. Yeah. I was like, yo, I got to stop. This is it. This is what my body's telling me. Stop. So I cold turkey cut it out. Boom. Never went back. Wow. Haven't had McDonald's in like 7 years. You know what I'm saying? Burger King, none of that. I did the same thing with cutting meat out, you know. First, it was red meat. I already wasn't eating pork since I was young. Man, growing up, I had a friend that was Muslim, and he wouldn't eat pork. So he would, like, just tell me all these things about pork. And I was just like, yo, that's the most disgusting thing to eat in the world. I'm not eating it. Oh, my God. You know? So I stopped. I'm sorry to all my Puerto Rican people out there, man. I know y'all. I know that stays on the plate. So I'm going to keep it away from y'all, man, because I'll ruin your lives if I tell you about pork, man. Like, my wife hates me, for real, though. Shut up. I love lechon. It's so good. Okay. Crack is good for people to smoke crack too.
we're getting almost close to the hour here, but it's great to hear. I don't know. It gives me almost a dice, like it just kind of like reignites the fire of what we're doing by hearing you.
Yeah.
Because it feels like you're doing almost the same thing as what we're doing.
Yeah.
So I vibe off of you. You know what I'm saying?
You,
and I love that, because especially I always think about, you know, money comes and goes. Like, I always think about that, you know, money comes and goes, but I want to leave a legacy, you know,
man.
And to me, the legacy is worth more than money. And that's usually my mindset when I do all these little projects that I do. And just listening to you, it kind of gives me that reassurance of, man, I'll be all right. You know,
I'll be good, bro.
I think it's dope that you're bringing light onto subjects that people are afraid to talk about.
Yeah.
And like, just hearing other people's struggles makes people look at themselves and wonder, like, damn, do I need to speak with someone or whatever? Yes. Just bring light to it.
No. And real talk, though, because I honestly, like, I could see, like, as I'm talking and you said that, like, I'm making you contemplate your life. And I could see as I'm talking about, like, McDonald's and stuff, like, I could see you look like, he's like, cringing, like he's like, he's like, I gotta get it together. No, but and you know what? And it's real, and it's and this is the thing too that I want to make sure you guys are clear on this, and everybody listening too. Like, at least for me, I'm not the type of person that, because I'm doing this and my life is like this, and I did this, you know, to improve myself. I don't ever want to make someone feel a certain way about themselves.
Right,
you know,
right,
like
right.
I don't say it or do things or try to better things around me to make people feel like negative about what they're doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
But at the same time, if it hits something, if it strikes something, I think that's your very own personal way of knowing, I got to do something about this. You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
Like, I'm not the type of person that I don't want to judge nobody. Like, come on, man. Who am I to tell somebody, like, man, you eating McDonald's, man, you eating pork, you listening to this, you listening to that, you walking like this, you live in this neighborhood? Like, come on now. That's madness. You know what I'm saying? I'm not an elitist, man. I'm not, you know, some crazy dude that's running a country trying to tell people how to live their life that we ain't going to get into,
shots
right?
Fired.
You know what I'm saying? Clack, 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 clack. I'm going to tweet you, homie. I'm going to tweet you right now, homie. All right.
So there's no coffee involved, just so you guys know.
And this is the other thing too, man. So y'all understand, y'all that can't see this, that's on the podcast, man, I'm off H2O all day, and this is my energy all day. So you know what I'm saying?
I love it, man. I love it.
That's how I do it. But for real though, man, I want to make that clear. Like, you know, I feel like, especially when you're educating people, man, you can't make people feel like lower about what they're doing that's not matching up to their own standards. And that's really what it comes down to, man.
Yeah.
Is make sure they reach their own standards, but at the same time, it does take a little swift kick in the ass though, because I had to get it. You know what I'm saying? To touch on it real quick, I know we're wrapping up, but you know, I feel like the way I was raised by my mom and dad, like, I was the youngest, so I was always kind of like, you know, treated a little bit differently by being the youngest. You know what I'm saying? I was probably a little bit more swagged out than my brothers and my sister. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had a little bit flyer jackets and stuff because I was the youngest, you know. But I think that kind of messed me up. You know, but what set me straight is when I was 18 and they said, hey, listen, we're going to move to Mexico. You want to come with us or what you going to do? Like, because you're about to go to college. And I'm like, yeah, man, I just met this girl. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm staying with this girl here in Chicago, man. You know, and then 21 years later, I'm still with that same girl that I stood for, right? Aww. So they gave me a choice, and that choice led me to miss meals, be homeless, and you know, live in crazy situations, experiment with drugs, like just a bad life, a bad life. But if they didn't leave and give me that option, man, I don't know who I would be today, man. True. I'd probably be a bum. I'd probably be like somebody that thinks that people owe them the world and doesn't have to work for their own thing and doesn't have to better everything around me. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it takes a little swift kick in the ass. Exactly. So you should never never let people not give you that swift kick in the ass. Just take that swift kick in the ass and say, you know what, I'm going to tough it out and I'm going to get it going.
Perfect, man.
Yes, sir.
So if our listeners want to hit you up or want to know more about you, where should they go?
ICeItAll.com is my website.
Okay.
And my social media, all of it is ICeItAll, ICeItAll. That's how you can find me personally, man. You know, if you like the way I talk and the things I say, you might get some rants and things like that from me. You know what I'm saying? On Instagram and things of that nature, Facebook. Other than that, man, Hello Hip Hop, that's my company. And you can follow us at HelloHipHop.net or Hello_HipHop on social media. Money Mantra's the podcast. That's MantraMoney.com or Mantra_Money on Twitter and Instagram, and Mantra Money on Facebook. And We Are Hip Hop, where I'm the instructor for. You can find us too at ElevarteStudio.org and all the social medias. We Are Hip Hop Fest or We Are Hip Hop Festival.
Perfect. And mi gente, we'll put those links up also in the description of this podcast. I just wanted to say on behalf of the La Verdad team, man, thank you so much for coming and vibing, man. It was awesome. It's making me want to do more projects now.
I appreciate that, too.
Bueno, mi gente, be on the lookout. Make sure you like, subscribe, share this podcast on any of the platforms that you're listening to, especially on Audioboom, iTunes, or even on Android phone, wherever you're listening to. Gracias, mi gente, and God bless. Peace.
We are James and Dan, two forts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week, we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.